There's a scripture. Turn to Matthew 24, if you would. And there's a verse in here that I think we're pretty familiar with if we've been around for a few years. And I'm just going to read one verse of Matthew 24. Pretty familiar verse, I think, probably. Verse 42. Here's Jesus Christ speaking, because you've got a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red. It would be in red. It says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." So, it's telling us to watch. And, you know, over the many, many years, we've heard about watching. I know we all have, and certainly that's correct. Another scripture over in Ezekiel, similar, Ezekiel 33. Another, I think this is probably quite familiar to many of you. Ezekiel 33, verse 7. Notice what the prophet Ezekiel says. He says, "So you," that's the word of God coming to Ezekiel. It says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them." So, we're told to watch, we're told to be a watchman, but there, all that's, you know, absolutely 100% correct, but there are also a lot of important scriptures that talk about listening. And if you want a title, I titled this sermon, "Listening to God," because yes, we are to watch, yes, we're to be a watchman, but are we listening to God? Now, I remember years ago, I graduated from the University of Tennessee years ago, and I was in that period of time where they were drafting for the services. And in fact, they had the first lottery when I was at college, and they pulled out the numbers, and you know, I can't remember how many days are in a year actually, but 360 something. You know, if you got a real low number, you just may as well join. But if, you know, the further down the number, the last chance you came of getting drafted. This was during the Vietnam War, and my number was either 212 or 216. I never can remember. It was either 212 or 216. So I was kind of in that danger zone. But after I graduated from college, and the company I went to work for sent me to New Orleans, Louisiana, and I got called in for a physical, armed forces physical. Of course, you had to report. It's kind of. Do anybody here remember Pete Maravich, basketball player? Yeah, he was in the same group as I was for the physical, but he failed his physical. Now, how did Pete Maravich, the basketball player, said somebody had knee problems? We played the NBA for years, but I was not too, let's put it this way, I was far from converted at the time. But I had this letter from a doctor talking about ear issues I had when I was growing up and a hearing. So when I had the hearing test, you're supposed to, you know, hit the little button whenever you hear a beep, and again, I wasn't in, I was far from, shall we say, a converted member. Man, I botched that thing up as bad as I could. I was just beeping that thing. I thought, man, if I mess this up real bad, maybe I can get a deferral. And then they have you all go back, and you always talk to a doctor before they let you out. And when I talked to the doctor, I said, "Did you hear my ear? He could have cared less. I passed with flying colors." So obviously, I'd have probably been better if I'd just been, you know, do my best to take the test. If I took that test today, I probably would fail, not because I was trying to fail, because I don't hear quite as good as I used to. But hearing, you know, do we listen? You know, I mean, Penny could be the first one to tell you, I have, and you don't have to nod your head, but you can, but I sometimes don't listen as well as I could. Sometimes I'm trying to think about what I'm going to say. You know, when somebody's saying something to me, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to say to respond, and that's not really not good listening. That's not the way we listen. But over in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, I think I'll turn there for just a moment. I'm not going to read all of it, but it's got the seven churches of Revelation. And, you know, you've got in chapter 2 and chapter 3, you've got the angel to Ephesus in chapter 2. You've got the angel to Smyrna in chapter 2. You got Pergamos and Thyatira. Then you get over to chapter 3, you got Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And at the end of every one of these, every single one, I'll just look at chapter 3, talking about the Philadelphia church, which God says a lot of good things about the Philadelphia church. But at the end of the little section, which is chapter 3, verse 7 through 13, the very last verse, and this exact same verse, is created seven times after each one of these churches. Verse 17 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So what God's trying to tell us is, are we listening to what we see? Yes, of course we watch. Yes, of course we are in many ways a watchman. But listening is very, very important. How do we listen to God? How do we listen to God? Not a trick question, but let's think about that. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because I think you'll see, and I think you probably already know, how do we listen to God? Well, he doesn't come down and talk to us. You don't hear a voice, do we? But there are very important ways to listen to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Hold fast." Here's the letter Apostle Paul. I may have said 1 Timothy. I meant 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Last letter Paul wrote, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words." So the truth of God is sound words. You know, somebody said, in fact, I think Judy Noel was mentioning this last night, about how somebody said, well, all these churches, talking about the different churches in the world, thousands of different denominations, and literally there are thousands of different denominations. And she made the comment that all these churches can't be wrong, you know, meaning about you don't, Sunday, you keep Sunday. You don't keep the holy days. All these churches can't be wrong. But take it another way. None of these churches really agree with each other. So they're not all right. But so just because somebody does something, if it's not in the Bible, it's not right. Paul said, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words." You know, the truth, in other words, which you've heard. Remember these, Timothy. Where did he hear the sound words? He heard them from Paul. Said he heard, you heard them from me. In faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me. Paul said, well, when you read the Bible, they're sound words. When you read the Bible, it's basically God speaking to you and God speaking to me when we read the Bible. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy, verse 14, 15, 16, and 17. Verse 14, "But as for you," here's Paul speaking again to Timothy, and this is the very last letter Paul wrote, because in fact, in chapter 4, we see Paul talking about he's about to die. He's going to be dying soon. But in verse 13 through 17, chapter 3, "But evil men," he says, "evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So some of these, we were talking last night about, again, Judy mentioned, you ever heard of that minister on TV, Ernest Angley? He was, when I was growing up, he was on TV all the time, and he's kind of different. But I was wondering if, when he died, is either the last, I think he died this year. and he was 99 years old. He was like about 2 months from being 100. But has nothing to do with anything, but somehow Ernest Angley came into my mind. But he was something. He would do all this so-called healing, which really wasn't healing. But he was an imposter. He talked a lot of stuff that wasn't correct. He actually liked that he was healing people, and you know, and God, of course, is the one that heals anyway. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. They'll be deceiving, and also being deceived. You know, all around. Somebody told me if you tell a lie 10 times, you'll start believing it, even if you know it's a lie. But as for you, here's what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy, I want you to continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Well, who did he learn them from? He learned them from Paul. And Paul learned them from the apostles. And in the Old Testament, which they had, and all the history of the Old Testament, now we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he said, and from childhood, Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in what? Christ Jesus. All Scripture, every word of the Bible, is given for inspiration of God. It's all inspired. It's profitable for doctrine. That's where we learn our doctrines, from the Bible, not from some man-made idea or some philosophy book, from the Bible. For reproof, you know, you read it and you say, I need to change that. For correction, proof and correction, fairly similar. And for instruction in righteousness, because only God is totally righteous, but we can become more like God as we study the Bible and obey what the Bible says, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, Paul is saying, remember what you heard from me, Timothy. Remember what you heard from God, because this is God speaking. When we read the Bible. Now, when you read a book, or when I read a book, or when I watch a movie, you follow along the story, whether it's a nonfiction or fiction. But when we read the Bible, it's different. Because when you read and when I read the Bible, it's God speaking to us. It's God's inspired word speaking to us. And I've been going through. You know, I was remember at the feast in Jekyll Island a couple years ago, a man was telling me how he had read through the entire Bible, I think it was 62 times. And yet I know people that's never even read through it once. And yet sometimes it's just good to start at the beginning and just read. Just read on, read through the Bible and see what it says. The Bible has accounts of law. It has accounts of history. It has accounts of prophecy. It even has accounts of some of God's conversations to people. Like, remember God, Adam, to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to Moses. And the New Testament, like I said, if you had a red letter Bible, it would be the words of Jesus Christ. Well, that's God, you know, Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Word of God, speaking to us. So in reading Scripture, you and I are able to listen to God's Word. It's God speaking to us. It's not some philosopher. It's not some, you know, man or woman that maybe be intelligent, maybe not. But when we read the Bible, it's God speaking to us. And it's something we should think about. Proverbs. Let's turn to Proverbs here. Because I wanted just to think a little while today about listening to God. Because like I said, more than once already, when you or I read the Bible, we are listening to God. Now, I find this something that needs to be considered because, like I said, that one man had told me he read through the Bible 60 some odd times, and he died about a year ago. I did honestly, I don't even know his name. I remember his face because I remember talking to him back when I would be the coordinator of Jekyll Island. And really a nice guy. I knew he was from California. But he, think about it. Every time you read through the Bible, you learn something new. Now, I went through the King James, the old King James, I started last December and I finished. And then I thought, well, I'm going through the Amplified Bible now. Sometimes it's good to go through different translations. I usually, anytime we're at services, I'll use the New King James. And there's some translations that really aren't, they're really not really that profitable. There's one called The Message that in the Old Testament, it's pretty good. But the New Testament, I start reading that and I'm thinking, this doesn't even seem, because it's not a translation. It's some, whoever put it together, it's their ideas. And sometimes they'll say things that flat out not true. So, I mean, there's different translations, but I would encourage you to read one of the translations that is really more a translation than just some paraphrase or the way somebody put it together. Proverbs 1, let's look at what the book of Proverbs is about. Because let's think about this for a minute. As I have my Texas allergies, which I brought to Oklahoma. I never had allergies in my life till I moved to Texas. You don't care, do you? But trust me, thought I'd try to wake you up at least. The Proverbs of Solomon. So here is the wisest man in the world, which sometimes didn't do wise things, but at least he had the knowledge that God gave to him. The Proverbs of Solomon, he was the son of David. Solomon was the king of Israel. So what did he write this Proverbs for? And it tells you right at the beginning of it, to know wisdom and instruction. This is why he wrote the Proverbs, or why God inspired Solomon to write the Proverbs, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Proverbs is to help us understand, to see things. It's very important to be able to see things that God wants us to receive instruction of wisdom. Well, how do we get wisdom? Well, I had a Bible study on Zoom last Wednesday night. A few of you are on there. And I covered part of James 1. And it says, if you want wisdom, ask God for it. When you're praying in the morning or afternoon, say, God, could you give me wisdom? And it says, if you believe him, he'll give us wisdom. But how often do people even ask for it? To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, this is what Proverbs is about, judgment, equity, about being fair, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. So the Proverbs can help you and me gain more understanding, increase our learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, think about the parables. Sometimes it's an enigma, isn't it? To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear, but here's the bottom line. How do we get it? The fear of the Lord. Having the right awe and respect for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if we want knowledge, the first place to get it is right here in the Bible. And by praying, and by meditating, by studying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And this world, sadly, is full of a lot of people that just like, why would I want that? It's too bad. It's a shame. Verse 8 and 9. My son. And when he says son, he's talking to sons and daughters. But my son, hear the instruction of your father. Don't forsake the law of your mother. So he's telling us, your father, if he's a good man and he's trying to do what's right, listen to him. Your mother, if she's a good woman, listen to her. If your father is a reprobate and he hates God, he does everything against God, don't listen to him then, because he's turning you away. But you still show your respect in the right way. But sometimes respect is by, if they're trying to turn you away from what you know is right, then don't do it. So hear the instruction of your father. Don't forsake the law of your mother, for they'll be graceful ornaments about your neck and chains around your head and chains around your neck. Now, look at, here's what he says now, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Don't do it if it's wrong. Don't do it. And I could keep, and bottom line, he's saying, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them if they're telling you to do something that's not right. Let's drop down to verse 23. I think I'll read 23 through the end of the chapter, because the first chapter of Proverbs is setting the tone of what all these Proverbs are about. Verse 20, wisdom, it calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. That it's the wisdom is there, but we got to want it. We've got to cling to it. And we've got to understand that when God tells you something, it's for your good, for my good. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates of the city. She speaks her words. That's comparing wisdom to a woman trying to tell the truth, a godly woman. How long? Here's what it's saying. How long, you simple ones? Will you love simplicity? No, will you love foolishness? Is not our world full of foolishness? Sometimes I wonder how many of our leaders, like our congressmen and senators in some cases, how did they get their job? Was it because they're wise and godly? Could be sometimes, but a lot of times maybe some of them couldn't hold a real job. I mean, that's a real job, but I think you know what I'm saying. For scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge, hate the truth. Turn at my reproof, surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. So I'm reading all this because the entire 31 chapters of Proverbs is being set before our eyes in this first chapter. And it's saying, this is why you need to read the Proverbs, because they'll help you, they'll help me, they'll help anyone that has a desire to learn the truth. I will make my words known to you because I have called. Here's the problem with our society. I have called and you have refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. God is trying to tell the world things, and how many people would even think about reading the Bible? Because you disdained all my counsel and you wouldn't have none of my reproof. You know, how do we reprove? Didn't we just read in 2 Timothy 3, God's word is for our correction, for our reproof, for our doctrine. They're all there for us. And here's, you know, Solomon speaking God's word here. He said, I'll laugh at your calamity. When it says laugh, God's not happy that people are in calamitous situations, but if we're not obeying God, is it good to be blessed when it's really going to hurt us in the end? I'll mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. And that's what's coming to our world. Think about what's happened just this COVID. Not a small thing, but we're going to have a lot worse than COVID to deal with. A lot worse than COVID. Then, you know, if they won't listen, if they won't pay attention, then they'll call on me. God says, but I won't answer. Why won't he answer? Because they denied him. They said, I don't need you, God. But yet they do. We all need God. And they'll seek me diligently, but they won't find me. Why? And again, he says, because they hated knowledge. They didn't want to know what God was telling them to do. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Or what did it say the beginning of knowledge is? The fear of God, the respect, the awe of God. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. They'll be filled with full of their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, whoever listens to God, whoever listens to God's knowledge will dwell safely. They'll be secure with that fear of evil. Now, I took a long time on that chapter 1, but that's what Proverbs is all about, to give us knowledge, to give us wisdom. And again, like I covered the other night in the Bible study, I'm just going to turn to James 1 for a minute. Just read two or three verses here, which I covered in depth. You know, we spent an hour or so in James, and we did a little bit of the background. But you know how far we got through the letter of James? We started in chapter 1, and we got through verse 11. You can say, man, that was awfully boring. Well, you know what? There's a lot of knowledge in those 11 verses. A lot of knowledge. Look at verse 5 of James 1. If any of you, and we covered this in depth the other night, if any of you lacks wisdom, well, Solomon just talked about in Proverbs wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, how do we get it? Let them ask God for it, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Sounds good, but notice, but let them ask in faith. Believe it when you ask God for something like wisdom. Now, you know, you don't ask God, if you've got a car that runs, you don't say, God, I need a Mercedes. Or, you know, whatever expensive car you think you need. But God will give us what we need. Ask in faith. Don't doubt, it said. For he or she who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or woman or boy or girl suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord if we don't believe that God exists and if we don't believe God can do what he says he can do. That person's a double-minded man or woman, unstable. So if you want wisdom, ask God for it. Ask God for it. Now, when we speak to someone in a conversation, like I said earlier, like to say I was better at this, but sometimes when we speak to somebody, we're rather than listening closely, sometimes we are trying to decide how we're going to respond, even though before we even heard what they said. Man, how many times have I done that? Somebody's telling something, and it's like, yeah, I need to get in here and tell them what I know. I try not to look at Penny when I say that because she knows me too well. But good listening skills includes listening to comprehend, not just to respond. Good listening skills are you trying to hear what the person's telling you instead of what you're going to respond with. And good listening skills is trying to determine what God's telling us when we read the Bible. And letting the speaker finish. We need to hear what they have to say. You know, Proverbs 18:13, I'm not going to turn there. You may want to jot it down. It says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it's a folly and a shame to them. Well, how do you answer a matter before you hear it? You don't let to hear the whole thing. You don't hear the whole situation. It's where a lot of arguments in life begin, by not listening to what the other person has to say, just be so determined to say what we want to say. Over in Luke 21. And if you turn to Luke 21, then you're at the wrong place, because I need to get my glasses changed. It's Luke 2. That one must have just been my eyesight. It's Luke 2. We see this Jesus Christ when he was, I believe, 12 years old. Luke 2, verse 41. His parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they finished the days, you know, the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, as they returned home, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother didn't know it. They thought that he was together with some of the relatives coming back. Then they realized he wasn't there. But supposing him to have been in the company, their company, they went a day's journey. They sought him among the relatives and acquaintances. And then they realized he wasn't there with them. Well, where was he? Well, they didn't find him. So they returned to Jerusalem where the feast was. And they were seeking him. Now, so it was after 3 days. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. So he was listening to them, and when they would tell him something, he would ask questions. 12 years old. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Because even though he was 12, he was God, the Son of God. Now, when we read our Bibles, if we really want to understand, we need to ask questions. When you don't understand, look things up and go back. You may be reading, think, what did I see here? And go back and ask questions to grow. And if we don't have any questions, are we really studying it properly after all? When you read the Bible, ask questions. Go back and look things up, and you see names that you may not know. Go back and look it up. It's to your advantage, to my advantage when we do so. Proverbs 15, I think this is the last time we'll be in Proverbs. But Proverbs 15, here's a proverb that I think is, and these proverbs are just little words of jewels. One little verses sometimes. It's just amazing how much, and I actually happen to have this verse colored in my Bible, so it must have been one that really struck me. But it's Proverbs 15:28. It says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer." Think about it. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Studies. Thinks about it. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. You know, they just like, I don't care what they're going to tell me. I know. Well, do we really know as much as we think we know? Job 32. Said we were finished with Proverbs, but I see we're not. But Job 32, though, first. Read verse 6 through 9. Now, here's Job's friends. Boy, Job's friends. Boy, when you got friends like that, who needs friends? Some of his friends didn't have a whole lot of common sense. But here's Elihu in verse 6. Elihu, the son of Becharel the Buzite, or Buzite, I think, answered and said, now he was the fourth one. He has three friends and this younger man came. He actually had more words of wisdom to say than these other three friends. But he said, I'm young in years, and you're very old. Well, when I was 16, I thought 40 was very old. When I was 40, I thought 60 was very old. I imagine Olive Heller, who lived to be 90, didn't think 90 was quite so old. Because the older we get, hopefully, we learn lessons in life. Elihu said, I'm young in years, you're very old, talking to these other three friends. And Job, therefore I was afraid. I dare not declare my opinion to you. Because he was younger. He thought, well, I just need to wait. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, said Elihu, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. How? By God. Great men are not always wise. Great men, when I say great, important men, important women, what the world sees as important. Do you think some of our entertainers, some of our athletes are really that wise? Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. It's bottom line, can be wise. And then Elihu in verse 10 said, listen to me, I'll declare my opinion. I waited for your words, he's telling Job's three friends. I listened to your reasonings while you searched out what you say. I paid close attention to you. Surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words, lest you say, we have wisdom. They didn't have that much wisdom. That was the problem. They didn't have that much wisdom. Now, over in Proverbs again, let's turn to Proverbs 2. Remember, we read almost all of Proverbs 1. Let's just read a few verses in Proverbs 2. Excuse me. I'll begin in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words, here's Solomon speaking through God's inspiration. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. You know, there's a lot of fools running around out there in this world, and there's no fool like an old fool. But fools are fools. If you apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment. Do you ever ask God for wisdom or discernment to be able to sort it out in the morning when you pray? I hope so. If you lift up your voice and ask for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Fear meaning the awe, the respect of God. I'll make my words and find the knowledge of God. For God, the Lord, gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge. From God's mouth comes understanding. Well, their words are right here. And the Bible is what he's telling us. He stores up sound judgment for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand what righteousness is and justice is, what equity and every good path. It's what we need, is it not? Now let's turn over here. Let's turn over to Matthew 13 for a minute, where Christ is speaking the parables. Because the parables were for the disciples. The parables were not given where everyone would understand. In fact, we'll see what it says here. Chapter 13 of Matthew. I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3. First of all, same day Jesus went out of the house, sat by the sea. Great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spoke many things to them in parables. And then he spoke about the parable of the sower. I'm not going to go through the parable of the sower. I think I gave a sermon a couple weeks ago in Dallas just on the parable of the sowers. But he speaks the parable of the sowers. And then, notice, verse 10, the disciples came to him. And they said, why are you speaking to them in parables? And he answered and said, because it has been, this is pretty important here. This is why I speak to the people in parables, Christ said. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But it hasn't been given to them. It will someday. Now, you know, I went to church all my life as a kid with my parents. It never entered my mind that the fourth commandment was Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. It never entered my mind about clean and unclean food. It never entered my mind about the holy days. A lot of other things. I never even saw it, never even thought about it. But God, obviously at some point, wanted me to understand and wanted you to understand more. For whoever has, to him more will be given. The more we learn, the more we submit to God, the more God will teach us. Forever who has, more will be given. He'll have abundance. He, meaning he, she, or she. But whoever doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away. I always remember the story about a man that had four kids that went to a bachelor college. And all of them eventually quit attending. And one of them that quit attending, he and his wife, and 1 year later, 1 year, not 5 years, 1 year later, on the Feast of Trumpets, the son called him and asked what he was doing today because he needed to borrow his car because his car was being repaired. He had already forgotten that there even was a Feast of Trumpets. So don't think it can't happen to me or to you. For even what he has will be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, is what Jesus Christ told his disciples. Because seeing, they don't see. They may read the words, but they're not grasping it. And hearing, they don't hear. They don't understand. God's not opening their mind more. And then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, but you won't understand. And seeing you will see, but you will not perceive. Why? For the heart of this people has grown dull. They just didn't really care. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. Well, how do you read the Bible? If you're not blind, you read it with your eyes, don't you? Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Give them the truth. Well, what happened after these parables is dropping down to verse 51. Same chapter. Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? What things? All these parables. He gave the parable of the sower, parable of mustard seed, parable of the leaven, parable of the tares, hidden treasure, pearl of great price. I mean, all kind of parables. And he said, have you understood these things? And the disciples said, yes, we understand. Because their eyes were opened. Verse 53 to 58. But look at the rest of them that were there. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, and he departed, he left, when he came to his own country where he grew up, a place called Nazareth, he taught them in their synagogues, and they were astonished. And they said, what? Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Now, is this a compliment? Are they saying, this guy, we want to follow him? Well, let's keep reading. Isn't this the carpenter's son? This is Joseph's boy. Isn't his mother Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, Judas? And he has sisters. Are they not with us? Where did this man get all these things? What did they really think? Next verse, look. They were offended at him. How dare him tell us what to do? Is basically what they were saying. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. So God is only speaking fully to those who are called and those understand. Now, that's really an act of mercy. If everybody understood every little nuance and yet refused to do it, that's walking a very dangerous walk, is it not? So it's really an act of mercy. God will open our minds when we're ready to understand it. Let's turn. We get toward a close here. That always excites people. Getting toward a close. Yes. Romans 11. Romans 11. But we're not there yet, but we're getting toward a close. That could mean a lot of things. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking to the Gentiles, and then he wants to talk about his fellow Israelites. Because Paul was an Israelite. Remember, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. And it's amazing to me how people think all of Israel are the Jews, but yet only Judah are the Jews. So there's 11 other tribes. But they never seem to put that together, do they? But here's Paul. I say then, verse 1, has God cast away his people? Certainly not, he said. For I am an Israelite. I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. So he wasn't even from the tribe of Judah. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. God hasn't cast away his people. No, he hasn't. Let's look at verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled? Have these Israelites stumbled that they'll fall, that God's just casting them away? Look at all that God did for Israel. You don't think God loved Israel and still loves Israel? He loves all mankind, but is Israel just being rejected and cast away? They've certainly not, but through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation's come to the Gentiles. So if the Gentiles are being called, it's like, oh, what about us? At some point, all Israel will be called at the proper time. Verse 25, and I could read all of it, but since I said we're heading toward the conclusion, you wouldn't like that. There's a lot of verses here I could cover. It took me an hour to cover 11 verses in James the other day. How long would it take me to cover all these verses? We'd hear snoring even. Verse 25, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of what? This mystery that a lot of people don't understand. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion, hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. God hasn't forgotten Israel. In fact, let's look at verse 29 to 33 in the same chapter. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For you were once disobedient to God. Now he's talking mainly to the Gentiles. You just went along your life, didn't really know. Yet you now obtain mercy through their disobedience. Now the Israelites have kind of dropped off, but the Gentiles were coming in. Not that the Israelites didn't too, but many had. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown to you, they also may obtain mercy the proper time. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. God has a bigger picture than just one little group of people, is what he's saying. Oh, the depths, oh, the riches, oh, the wisdom, oh, the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. Past finding out. So we have focused over the years on watching. Certainly should. And on being ready, being a watchman, certainly should. But we also need to be focusing on listening. In fact, did I hear thunder? I'm just listening. See, I'm hearing the thunder, knowing that I'm going to get wet when I go out to the car. So I knew I should have parked closer. We need to be hearing and understanding and doing the work of God. I'm not finished yet, though. Oh, you thought I was almost finished. Amos, two more scriptures. Amos chapter 8. We need to think about this. Amos chapter 8. One of the minor prophets. Right after Joel. Verse 11 and 12. This time's coming. We better be preparing ourselves for it. Verse 11 and 12, Amos 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God. So that's God saying this, that I'm going to send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread. Not a famine of thirst for water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. How long will we be able to be on television or print? Who knows? You do what you can as long as you can do it. But what? We don't know what's coming. They shall wander from sea to sea. They're going to go north. They're going to go east. They're going to run to and fro. Why? To seek the word of the Lord. But they shall not find it. So somehow it's going to be, right now there's sure no famine of the word, is there? But it could happen. But yet the Bible is never going to change. God's truth is never going to change. Let's look at Revelation, final scriptures, Revelation 22. Last chapter of the Bible. And even though this is talking about Revelation, John, I think you could say it's talking about the entire Bible. Then he said to me, these words, what words? The word of God. These words are true, these words are faithful. The words of Revelation here and the entire Bible. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he, or blessed is she, who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. That book, the letter to Revelation, but also the Bible. Verse 10 and 11. Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. There's going to be a time, this is what God's going to say, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. If they just don't want it, then they're going to have to go through some times that aren't going to be that enjoyable. But he or she who is righteous, let them be righteous still. And he or she who is holy, let them be holy still. Behold, I'm coming quickly, said Jesus Christ, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to their work. God loves us all, loves all mankind. Some mankind's going to have to go through some tough times. And just like I think Raymond was saying today, that Olive is resting, her race is over. All those people out there that have been faithful over the years, that are waiting in the grave there, they'll be resurrected. But yet, God wants you and God wants me to listen.